broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 19th. In the year of our Lord, 2016, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the checks and balances, absolutely brilliant and put in place by the founding fathers, along with the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, the blueprint for liberty. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you had a weekend full of God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property, and more. Quick recap of Thursday and Friday's show, because we didn't have time on Friday. Trump visits Flint, Michigan, and he checked out the problemed water treatment plant, etc. We're having that all over America, ladies and gentlemen. The environment's completely melting down. But Trump vowed, should he become president, that he would bring jobs back to Flint, tying the situation of Michigan to Mexico. Now, this is kind of interesting. Trump said that it used to be that cars were made in Flint, Michigan, and you couldn't drink the water in Mexico. Now, all the cars are made in Mexico, and you can't drink the water in Flint, Michigan. Wow, interesting statement that most of us are going to have a hard time disagreeing with, huh? Ford pulls production from the USA to make small cars in Mexico, Detroit Free Press. Ford isn't alone. Fiat, Chrysler, many of these companies are saying they will end production of cars in the United States by the end of this year. Wow. Wow, that's scary. Mexico is building a U.S. taxpayer-funded wall, but it's on its southern border to keep illegal immigrants out. Tyler Durden wrote the piece. Barack Obama doesn't want to admit it, but while they absolutely suggest Donald Trump is a racist for wanting to build a wall on the northern border of Mexico, they say that it's just so horrible and evil and wrong. They're doing the same thing on the southern border right now. The Obama administration is sending $75 million in equipment and training. Wow. To help stop Central Americans from coming across the southern border of Mexico. Can you believe that? Now, Trump is already up 15 points over Hillary Clinton in Utah. Can you believe that? Utah.com policy survey, or utahpolicy.com, sorry. They're up 15 points according to two polls, many of them even liberal. Now, wasn't it just a few scant weeks ago they said, man, you know, Donald will never do well in Utah? The mainstream press loves to manipulate, don't they? It's the second consecutive poll to find Trump up by 15 points in the beautiful Olympic state of Utah. 500 cows got wrestled from New Zealand. Wellington, New Zealand, that was kind of an interesting twist. How do you get that done? The State Department, to foreigners, quote, here's where free money is. Steve Peacock, WorldNet Daily, wrote the piece. Believe it or not, literally, you got the United States government training the poorest and the least literate segments of Guatemala. They're about to get an education on labor and health care entitlements that they can pursue in the United States thanks to the Barack Obama administration. It's a media bombardment down there that we're funding. Come on into the United States. There's plenty of handouts. Iran may have received as much as $33.6 billion in cash and gold payments from the United States. Folks, we're funding terrorism, and it's coming to our land. The IRS refuses to abandon targeting criteria used against Tea Party and conservatives. What do you expect? The inside Republicans love the IRS as well. Haven't you noticed everything we stand against just gets bigger and more and more? Hillary's newest book, quote, Stronger Together, has become what the publishing industry considers a big flop. Doesn't matter that Clinton and her running mate Tim Kaine have been promoting it everywhere they go. It's an absolute failure. The failed offering supposedly provides a policy blueprint of where Hillary hopes to take the country. All you got to do for that is read the Communist Manifesto. That was 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable Live. Second hour, we talked about Google is burying negative search suggestions for Hillary Clinton Google shows. Of course, Google denies it. We also talked about signs of electoral earthquake in latest polls. We talked about Christian government employee suspended for not watching a gay training video. Yeah. We also talked, it was about this Illinois social worker. His name is David Hawley, might get fired after refusing multiple times to watch a gay diversity training video. He says, I'm Christian. I don't hate the gays. I just don't need your video to make, you know, this idea that it's not wrong. I don't want to watch that. We also talked about a Gallup poll. America's trust in the media hits all-time low, according to the Daily Caller. The latest poll shows that America's trust in the mass media outlets has plummeted. It's now at its lowest point since 1972. That's when Gallup began gathering the data. By the way, how heavily armed is your state, huh? CBS News had a poll. We covered that. Or I should say a study. Utah was like, I don't know, way down the list. Wyoming was the top. Apple seeks fresh momentum with the iPhone launch. We talked in detail about what that means. We also talked about rigged, you might ask. The Attorney General investigating Hillary Clinton. Investigating Donald Trump works for Hillary Clinton, writes Bob Unruh, WorldNet Daily. So now the people investigating the Donald work for Hillary. We also talked about Mika Brzezinski. On Morning Joe, she goes after Donald Trump and his VP, Mike Pence. She creates a new term, saying pensing. Pensing is when you know full well what you're doing is a failure, that it'll come back to haunt you, but you do it anyway if you shill for your candidate. Wow. Now, I find it interesting. This lady's Mika Brzezinski. Now, Mika's kind of like Monica. You know, Mika, Monica. Brzezinski, kind of like Lewinsky. And this lady's going to run around and make fun of people for pensing? Good luck with that. Anyway, believe it or not, that was one show, Liberty Roundtable Live for Thursday. It's still available on demand. Right now, the next Friday, we had our guest on, Mr. Lee Speakerman. He's a former Newt Gingrich advisor and current Trump advisor. And we talked about Trump's dramatic rise in the polls. The LA Times says real Donald Trump skyrockets to a 6-point, now it's a 7-point lead over Hillary. Even the Rasmussen poll says Donald's taking the lead. Donald Trump is ahead of Hillary Clinton in some of the most key battleground states, Ohio, Florida, and Nevada, just to name a few. Yeah, we also talked about Dr. Milton Wolf. And others are saying there's no such thing as non-contagious bacterial pneumonia. That's a bogus claim. How come the media is not holding Hillary and her doctors accountable, huh? Which Democrat should replace Hillary? The top two are Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden. We also had on our guest Michelle Fiore, Assemblywoman in the Nevada legislature. Also guest Richard Mack, CSPOA.org was on. Three incredible guests in 1 hour. Trump again refuses to say Barack was born in the United States, reports the New York Times, but now the Donald came back and said, yeah, Barack was born in the United States. Michelle Fiore says, I endorse Donald Trump. She tweeted that, so you have that official from Twitter. That was 1 hour. Second hour, hey, if you want a free Hillary for, if you want a free sticker, Hillary for prison. Any Give Me Liberty Fund members, get a hold of Kurt Crosby. He'll help you out. Kurt@LibertyRoundtable.com. That's Kurt@LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211. You can get a free bumper sticker. Hillary for prison. We also talked about tax-paying New Yorkers are leaving in droves. According to a new study, taxes are just too belligerent. We also talked about the fallout from the basket of deplorables. Wisecrack from Hillary keeps growing. Donald Trump details tax cuts to improve the economy, outlining his economic vision. Donald Trump claimed on Thursday that the economy can create 25 million jobs. And the way you get it done is you decrease regulation and you cut taxes. And then they run around and go, "Durr, Donald, how do you pay for that?" The answer is you cut the size and scope and expenditures of government. It's incredibly simple, folks. Dollar General, thank heavens, plans to add 10,000 plus jobs. Yeah, they're going to open 900 new stores this year and 1,000 next year. It's hard to imagine a tax code more complex than the one we've already got, but Hillary managed to get that done last week. And then we talked about Sam Bushman struck gold with the idea of Donald Trump not taking any salary as president of the United States. In seconds, our guest.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honeydew items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So last Friday's broadcast, I proposed that Donald Trump doesn't take any salary as president, and he leaves it all in the Treasury. And then when they run around and say, "How are you going to pay for it, Donald?" you say, "Well, it might be a drop in the bucket, but I'm leading by example. Why don't we cut government costs all across every aspect of government? I'm leading by example." I actually sent that to the Trump campaign, so we'll see how that goes. We also talked about a platinum parachute for Wells Fargo exec that presided over the scandal at Wells Fargo. We talked about a first unnamed soldier, a female. She was in Green Beret training. She washed out. They don't want to tell us her name. Hillary's poll numbers continue to tank everywhere, including in Washington, D.C. Her numbers are tanking. How much does Hillary Clinton weigh? People are asking that, saying if we're going to talk about the Donald's weight, let's be fair and talk about Hillary's weight as well. We also talked about report Trump is considering Peter Thiel for the Supreme Court. Is he really? And Peter Thiel is a litigation entrepreneur and more. Anyway, that's a recap of both shows, Thursday and Friday. Sorry that took so long, but man, we cover a lot of news. Without further ado, Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's good to be with you. I count it quite a blessing to share a few minutes of your show with you from time to time. You guys do great work.
Well, thank you, sir. Now, you had the opportunity to do great work and go attend the Constitution Day celebration September 17th last week in Layton, Utah, right?
Yep, just 2 days ago. It was a marvelous event organized by a committee. But you remember Bert and Kathy Smith, of course. Kathy was smack in the middle of the organization of this event. It's kind of an annual event. And I think the event Saturday was the 10th annual event. So it's been going on a long time, but the purpose of the event is to remember and celebrate the Constitution, because, as you know, September 17th, just 2 days ago, was the 229th birthday of the U.S. Constitution.
By the way, Lowell, it's a great venue. You know, Sam and I got to attend at least 1 year, and, you know, private Christian school with a nice, it's a very nice place to go, and enjoyed our time there, and we're glad you liked it as well.
One of the fun things I learned there was that, you know, Bert and Kathy Smith have been giving out pocket copies of the Constitution for years and years now. I don't know how many years they've done it, but I was amazed to learn that in probably the last 20, 30, 40 years, they have given out, they believe, 16 million copies of that pocket Constitution. Talk about advancing the cause of liberty. That is a wonderful thing. So the the Center for Constitutional Studies was there, and they did have books and boxes and boxes of pocket constitutions. People could pick them up and take them with them. I picked up a couple of boxes and intend to give those out to my friends and fellow patriots and working in the cause of liberty. I mean, everybody needs a copy of the Constitution. Not only do we need one, but we need to be reading it, studying it, and teaching the principles of the Constitution to our children. I learned so many fun new things at this event Saturday, Sam. Did you know that, the auditorium was only dimly lit because they wanted everybody to be able to see the media presentation on stage, the two big screens plus a huge one on the stage. And so I was scribbling notes in the somewhat dark auditorium, but I was able to come away with just a treasure trove of information, which I thought it would be profitable for us to talk about this morning. No other nation on earth, gentlemen, have enjoyed the blessings of such a document. And what I didn't realize until David Barton brought this out was that most countries, most nation states today, go through constitutions like every 10 or 15 years. For example, South Korea has had 5 constitutions since 1948. I mean, that's not very long ago. I was born in 57, and I'm, almost 60. So 70, in 70 years, they have had 5 constitutions. Spain, as another example, has had 14 constitutions from 1812 to 1978. Think about that. The fact that the United States has had essentially the same constitution for 229 years, gentlemen, that is truly remarkable, Sam. Oh, and I failed to mention that we had some marvelous visitors, some guests at this event Saturday night. Actor portrayals of Dr. Benjamin Franklin, also the Reverend Peter Muhlenberg, who I had never heard of before, this Peter Muhlenberg. Marvelous fellow. Of course, Governor William Bradford, James Madison, and of course, George Washington. They all visited us at the event and talked about their perspective on the founding of our country and where they believe the country is today and what to do about it. So, but the keynote address was given by David Barton. Now, I have never heard David Barton in person, but I was so enthralled with his presentation of the subject, which basically was a celebration of the Constitution. He talked about why it's a great document and why we need to preserve it and why we need to teach it and its principles to our children. He talked about, he defined American exceptionalism for one thing. And I had never heard this particular description of exceptionalism. I mean, I don't want to think myself better than any other people or country or so forth, but he persuaded me. He said American exceptionalism really is basically the fact that we have a unique government philosophy which led to the creation of institutions and policies that have resulted in unprecedented peace and prosperity for the inhabitants of this land. And it's that unique governmental philosophy that he spent most of the time on discussing as we discussed the Constitution and, of course, the Declaration of Independence. Now, most opinion makers today are attacking the foundational principles of the Constitution and of the Declaration of Independence. One of their tactics is to subordinate, well, ignore, really, the Declaration of Independence. But David said, and I believe this, you cannot really understand the Constitution if you don't first understand the Declaration. Now, the fact that, the Declaration was just, in other words, it's key. It is foundational to this philosophy of government that we have, from which we have benefited in so many, many ways today. He named five what he called immutable principles in the Declaration that are embodied in the Constitution.
In other words, it's historically foundational to understand where the Founding Fathers found themselves, what their goals were to accomplish, and the roadmap historically of how they got there, right?
That's right, Sam. And as we walk through these five immutable principles, it'll begin to dawn on us how important the Declaration is to our understanding of the proper role of government, which was institutionalized by the Constitution. And so,
now, a lot of people believe, you know, we don't need government. Government's always evil. Government's bad. It's kind of the anarchist view. The Founding Fathers felt different. The Declaration of Independence they put together and subsequently the Constitution shows that they realized the need for the proper role of limited government.
That's right. In fact, the first three immutable principles are designed entirely to limit government. That's their sole purpose. And so the first principle... it sounds like that we'll have to cover this up.
Yeah, you got to give them a little teaser, though.
and that is the first principle. All is the acknowledgement of a divine creator, which comes from the words in the Declaration: all men are endowed by their creator. And obviously, if they're saying by their creator, they're
in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Details on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte, who has openly abetted extrajudicial police killings and lethal vigilante violence against suspected drug dealers and users, is a hands-on killer, according to sworn testimony from self-described hitman Edgar Matabeto. Speaking to the Philippine Senate, Matabeto claimed that Duterte, as mayor of Davao City, was present during a 1993 death squad mission when their vehicle encountered a roadblock manned by an agent of the National Bureau of Investigation. Following a brief exchange of gunfire, the agent was left wounded and out of ammunition. According to Matabeto, Mayor Duterte was the one who finished him off. He emptied two Uzi magazines on him. Matabeto described the death squad as a group of policemen and ex-communist rebels who killed roughly 1,000 people. Some of those targeted by the squad were garroted, burned, quartered, and then buried at a quarry or fed to the fish. The officers told us ordinary killings wouldn't do, Matobeto related, claiming that he had personally killed as many as 50 people. Our job was to kill criminals, rapists, pushers, and snatchers. That's what we did, he testified. We killed people on an almost daily basis. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to libertynewsdaily.com. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think givemelibertyfund.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking to Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ladies and gentlemen. And we're talking about Lowell's attendance of and an update on the Constitution Day celebration that took place with David Barton in the Olympic State of Utah last week. We're talking about these five absolutely undisputable principles that if we learn and adhere to, that's what makes America great. If we turn our backs on them, I'm telling you, we'll lose everything that we hold dear. The first one, Lowell teased before the pause, acknowledgement of a divine creator. All men are endowed by their creator. Lowell?
Yep, and that's how it begins. Those are the famous words from the Declaration, as you know. And, you know, people like to criticize the framers and the founders as being, anti-Christian and non-believers and deists and so forth. But the fact is, Sam, these ladies and gentlemen of that era were deeply religious people. October 3rd, 1789, for example, in his Thanksgiving proclamation, George Washington wrote, quote, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor," end of quote. And so it is without question, Sam, that these gentlemen and their colleagues of this era were deeply religious, and they put in the Declaration this acknowledgement of a divine creator, and as we shall see, this serves to limit the authority of any earthly government. As if you continue that phrase, all men are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, right? So that's the second immutable principle. Our unalienable rights come from God. Now, I realize there's a couple ways to say unalienable. Some say inalienable, and some say unalienable. If you say the first, inalienable, that's like you can't be alienated from your right. Well, I prefer unalienable because it connotes more of a legal term where, you know, somebody cannot put a lien on your rights, right? And so, anyway, be that as it may, our unalienable rights come from God. And these rights are bestowed antecedent or previous to any earthly government, right? I mean, you had these rights by virtue, excuse me, of your being born on this earth, and those rights preceded any earthly government. Why is this important? Well, because it serves to limit government. Because these rights come from God, they did not come. That means they did not come from an earthly government. Therefore, an earthly government may not abrogate them, right? I mean, if we believe that we get our rights from government, then we can also easily be persuaded to believe that the government can take away those rights, right? If the government gives them to us, then they can take them away. But if God gives us the right, then government cannot abrogate the rights that we receive from God. And so that's one of the great reasons why an acknowledgement of God, an acknowledgement that He endowed us with unalienable rights, serves to limit government.
Now, this is the important part. See, we acknowledge that there's a divine creator and that our rights come from that creator. And then number three, I think, is just as critical. The whole purpose of government's existence is to secure these rights. If government starts to take the rights away, it isn't the proper role and or purpose of government anymore at all, Lowell.
Exactly, Sam. Reading again from the Declaration, we read that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. In other words, the purpose of government is to secure our inalienable rights or our unalienable rights. That is the proper role of government, to secure these rights, meaning life, liberty, property, conscience, self-preservation, sanctity of the home, due process, trial by jury, and so forth. There were over two dozen rights, unalienable rights, mentioned in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, meaning Bill of Rights. Primarily, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution mention those in addition to life, liberty, and property. That those are the three mentioned in the Declaration. And so you're absolutely right, Sam. These are the three greatest, I guess, foundational principles in the Declaration, which are also embodied in the Constitution, right? To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And then what do we have? The first 10 amendments? We have a language there which helps to guarantee and secure these unalienable rights to you and me. Now, number four, the fourth immutable principle found in the Declaration is this. There are fixed moral laws. And this is, of course, in the wording in the Declaration when they talk about the laws of nature and of nature's God. That is a phrase from Blackstone, I learned. And we learned that in nature, when we talk about the laws of nature, we then look at the animal kingdom, for example, and there's millions of species of you know, bugs, insects, and animals, and so forth. There is no species on Earth that enslaves another species. Therefore, slavery is wrong. And there's no species in the world that kills their unborn in the womb. Therefore, abortion is wrong. And so you can see that you can look at nature, you can look at the laws of nature, and you can then deduce what is right and wrong for government and for you and me, because really basic government is an extension of the authority that you and I hold. And this was really fun. He showed us some pictures of his roundups in Texas. I mean, he's a cattleman, and he goes out on horses, and he rounds up hundreds of cattle, and he showed us these pictures, and they're branding the calves and doctoring them and so forth. And he says, we did 586 calves that day, and not a single time were we confused about whether we were working with a male or a female calf. There is no confusion about gender when it comes to nature. There is male and there is female. And so, you know, I just thought that was, you know, just absolutely appropriate given today's absolute confusion and distortion of what's male and female out there in the world today. This idea of transgenderism, there is no place for that, and you know, the Declaration is very clear. The founders were very clear about gender, about the laws of nature and of nature's God. So number five, the fifth immutable principle is, and I have to say about that fourth principle, not only is it with the laws of nature, but of nature's God. See, nature's God put into the Bible additional laws in addition to the laws of nature. Because in nature, you do have, David Barton pointed this out, you do have theft, murder, and adultery in nature, right? I mean, your cows will eat one another's hay. Horses will eat one another's hay. You've got cougars that prey on gophers. You've got owls that prey on mice, and they murder in nature. And they're also adulterous in nature. There's animals that, you know, one bull will service numerous female cows, and of course that's adulterous. And so that's why they added that phrase, and of nature's God, because in the Bible, the Lord was very clear about commanding men not to steal, not to kill, not to commit adultery. And so when the founders talk about the laws of nature and of nature's God, they're looking at nature. I mean, they're also recognizing, acknowledge the word of God given to Moses and to mankind through the process of revelation. And so now, moving quickly to the fifth immutable principle, it's the consent of the governed, because they also said in the Declaration, this quote, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, end of quote, which means governments have only that authority that men have. And if men do not have the authority to hurt people or take their stuff, then neither does government. Now, Sam, these immutable principles are reflected in the Constitution, for despite the rhetoric of numerous people saying that the Constitution is a secular document, you and I both know it is not merely a secular document. The Sunday's accepted clause, for example, indicates the framers' reverence for the Sabbath. And the historical records show that from November of 1800 until late into the 19th century, the Capitol served as a church on Sundays. That's where the gentlemen who were serving in Congress and in the executive and judicial branches of government, that's where they went to church, was in the Capitol building. Well, and there's also the five oaths in the Constitution. They clearly reverence God when they say, so help me God. This is just a sampling of the numerous evidences that the Constitution is not merely a secular document, but one that is founded on acknowledgement of the divine creator.
A God-given blueprint for liberty, ladies and gentlemen. It's Second to Lowell Nelson. CampaignForLiberty.org on your radio.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you, and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes, all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about the five incredible principles learned at the Constitution Day celebration last week. David Barton was the speaker. Bottom line is, God lives. He exists. He's real. Secondly, our rights come from God. Thirdly, you know what? Government only has the appropriate responsibility of preserving those rights for all of us. And government gets its authority, its power from us. And we have rights given to us from God that government can't take away. Government's proper role is to preserve them. When government crosses the line and starts to take them away, government becomes illegitimate, to say the least. You got to understand the Declaration of Independence in order to understand the Constitution. Some people say, I'm a Declaration guy, and others are, I'm a Constitution guy. Those who know the most say, I'm a both guy, because we got to have both if you want true cognitive understanding of what these documents literally do. They're sacred. You got to have copies. You got to read them. You got to study them, and you got to internalize them, and then you got to learn to apply them in our daily lives in modern times, folks. That's how we preserve our unalienable God-given rights. It's a critical thing to understand. And not only does immorality chip away at our rights, the blurring of genders, adultery, I mean, you know, you just look at the Ten Commandments to know what not to violate, right? But anyway, war is one of the biggest things that causes real, real problems for our society. And I'm afraid we're headed towards war at some point. Don't know when or how. Pray it isn't true, but suspect it is. Lou Rockwell chimed in, giving a proper breakdown of what war really does to a society, Lowell. This is critical on the heels of Constitution Day as well.
You're exactly right, Sam. Was a talk given by Lou Rockwell at the Peace and Prosperity 2016 conference that was sponsored by the Ron Paul Institute, held just last week, September 10th, in Virginia. I've mentioned the ronpaulinstitute.org several times on this show, and as you know, Ron Paul is the one who founded the Campaign for Liberty, and so the Ron Paul Institute does a great job posting various blogs and talks and so forth from insightful writers, and you can read every talk that was given at this Peace and Prosperity 2016 conference of last week, held just last week. You can read, you can find that that speech or that address at ronpaulinstitute.org. And this one particularly I thought was valuable to discuss this morning, Sam, the truth about war, because war in most people's mind is sensationalized and it's promoted. I mean, right here in Utah, for example, where the predominant religion is a Christian religion, it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Most members of the church don't realize or don't understand how deadly and how devastating war can be, right? I mean, one of the leaders of the church a couple of decades ago said that we should not go to war, right? I mean, oh, what was that famous quote? It was up on a highway banner for a couple, for several weeks up here. doggone, I forget it. It'll come back to me in a second. But we should not be a war-making people or war-mongering people. And so one of the great things...
War is almost glorified like a sporting event. It's almost like, well, if you're not really for war, you're not for protecting America. And the lie is that they put those two together as if they're one and the same, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
Exactly, which goes to the very first point that Lou makes in his talk. He says war deforms us morally. I mean, the overarching premise of his speech is that war and militarism warp and deform whatever they touch. And the first thing that they do is they deform us morally. We have swallowed, Sam, we have swallowed the notion that the state may do things, in other words, has permission to do things that would be unspeakable enormities and atrocities if they were carried out by private individuals. You know, think of it, Sam, if you had a grievance against Kurt and so you launched an attack on Kurt's neighborhood, you would be thought deranged, Sam, if you dismissed any deaths caused by the attack as mere collateral damage. Or suppose a company like Apple or Staples launched a missile attack that killed hundreds of people. No way would you and I think that was a moral thing to do. And yet we give a pass to the government when they do it? Yeah, we really need to reconsider our view of the state. Lou says this. He says, quote, if we think of the state as a parasitic, self-interested institution that survives by siphoning resources from the productive citizenry and which bamboozles the public with a now familiar battery of arguments as to why it is indispensable to our well-being, then we can begin to look at war realistically without all the superstitions and patriotic song, end of quote. So
The article is entitled, ladies and gentlemen, The Truth About War, Lou Rockwell. You can find that at Ron Paul Institute or Lou Rockwell's websites. But there's six primary points that he makes related to the evils of war, Lowell.
That's right. And point number one was war deforms us morally. Point number two, military spending deforms the economy. Military spending deforms the economy. Most people have been raised to believe that war stimulates the economy. The war, you know, got us out of the Depression. You know, World War II got us out of the Depression. Nothing is further than from the truth. While it is true the war can stimulate small segments of an economy, like such as the funeral industry or the bomb manufacturers, war cannot stimulate the economy in general. You know, because during war, the needs of the people take a backseat to the needs of the military. Resources are diverted away from productive use and instead towards killing and carnage. Think of the loss, Sam, the loss to society when over half of your R&D talent is diverted into military purposes. And Lou says this. He says, when the Pentagon becomes your major customer, you lose the competitive edge to which market discipline gives rise. Well, that's absolutely true, right? I mean, if you are selling to a buyer who has unlimited money, then you don't care to make your product and service competitive.
You're also not only competitive from a quality point of view, but from a price point of view. All of the above, and the free market gets destroyed.
Exactly right. Training a combat pilot costs $5 million, Sam. One combat pilot. And it turns out that an F-16 fighter pilot consumes in less than an hour the same amount of fuel that the average American motorist consumes in 2 years of driving. Wow. U.S. military expenses...
Yeah, where are the environmentalists to stand against war, huh, Lowell?
Exactly. U.S. military expenditures roughly equate to those of all other nations put together. Wow.
It's beyond imagination. Number three.
War propaganda deforms our views of other people. That's number three. Deforms our views of other people. And Lou cites World War I as the classic example where the Germans were called the Huns and very prone to commit heinous atrocities. I mean, they're just like you and me, Sam. The Germans, the Swedes, the Finns, I mean, they're just like you and me. And yet the government puts on a huge propaganda campaign to portray them as killers and so forth, right? I mean, that's how they stir...
Well, and it's being done with the Muslims right now and then the terrorists and everything else. Now, I'm not saying there's not bad people in the world, but what I'm saying is, again, they deform our view of who the enemy is in the world, right?
Exactly. And that's happening to the people of Iran right now. They are being demonized so that we, the American people, will not oppose military strikes against them. War encourages us to think of other people as dispensable, as disposable, as inferior. You know, a wedding party blown to smithereens in Afghanistan, what do we do as Americans? Well, we yawn and go on to the next news item. But what
or we clap and say, glad we got them.
Yeah, but what if that occurred in Salt Lake City, Sam, or in Denver, or Houston, Texas? I mean, it just boggles the mind that we are that people, our brothers and sisters in other countries around the world, have been demonized by the propaganda of our own government to the point that you and I don't even think twice about a bomb strike that kills hundreds of people, you know, in their land.
Number four, war corrupts our culture as a whole, and this is what you're getting at.
Exactly. The culture of war kills something precious and indispensable in a civilized society, and that is the freedom of utterance, the freedom of curiosity, the freedom of knowledge. He gives this example of a Pentagon official who, in explaining why the military had censored some TV footage showing Iraqi soldiers actually cut in half by U.S. fire, he noted casually that, well, if we let people see that kind of thing, there would never again be any war. Wow.
Yeah, people would know the truth, huh?
Man.
The problem is war distorts reality itself. That's number six, but that just proves your point.
Absolutely right, Sam. It is the most horrific outcome of the moral and political legitimacy people are taught to grant the state. Wrapped in the trappings of patriotism, home, songs, and flags, the state deludes people into despising a leader and a country that until that point they had barely even heard of, much less had an informed opinion about, and it teaches its subjects to cheer the maiming and the death of our fellow human beings who have never done them any harm.
Number five, just so we don't leave it out, war distorts our sense of what service really means. Let's remember that the peoples of all nations are our brothers and sisters. Most people want to be left alone to live their lives in peace. War becomes nothing but an expression of those who have ambitions to lust for power. Let us be strong enough to defend ourselves, but let's not go abroad in search of monsters to destroy. July 4th, 1821, Secretary of State, John Quincy Adams. Lowell, excellent breakdown, my friend. Godspeed. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Thank you.
There he goes. I just wanted to get it all in. Lowell had so many killer points and pros. Great hour. Liberty Roundtable Live. This nation shall endure.